Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dusty, last segment we took a look at the wide receiver room going into the 22 season, especially timely with the transfer coming in, Mitchell Tinsley from Western Kentucky. Now I want to take a look at the linebacker room with you, and I think that's a significant question mark on the defense. You know, we had some good news with Joey Porter Jr. coming back, Jair Brown coming back, talking about the defensive backs. With the linebackers, those guys who were in question, Ellis Brooks, Brandon Smith, they've already both made that declaration. They're opting out of the bowl game. They're going to the NFL draft. They will not be back for the 22 season, which means you've lost two-thirds of your starting linebackers from the 21 season. But not only that, this was not a real deep linebacker room in 21, was it?
It was kind of, there just wasn't a ton of margin there. And it helped to have a guy like Jesse Luketa be able to bounce around if he needed to. So when Ellis Brooks got the targeting call and had to miss a half, you're able to plug a guy in there who's played that position, who's played a lot of football and all that. Otherwise, I mean, there was a pretty steep drop off between the number three linebacker and the number four linebacker. And it'll be interesting. I mean, now you're going to see them starting to remake and reload this position with 2022 in mind. And, you know, what I would expect to happen is for Jesse Luketa to play in the middle and for Jonathan Sutherland to probably play Brandon Smith's position. We'll see about that in the bowl game. We've seen him bounce around between safety and linebacker, and it does look like his arrow is pointed to playing linebacker in this final season that he's got coming back. Will be a fourth-time captain. Has a chance to really grow into that full-time job. And I think, you know, it'll be good for him in this linebacker conversation to spend an offseason with more clarity on where he's going and what he's being asked to do, and really try to make the most out of that spot at linebacker. We've seen him, you know, play okay at safety. He's been really good on special teams. But if he wants to keep playing football, I think linebacker is going to be best suited for him. He just didn't really have the foot speed. He didn't really have the ability to play safety at the highest level. But it'll be interesting to see, okay, he knows he's playing linebacker if that's where he's going. Train that way. Lift that way. Practice in the spring that way and see if maybe he can bring out more of him. I made the comparison before. Johnny Patrician, who also has been wearing number zero at Pitt, leaves Penn State as a safety, shows up at Pitt. He has an unbelievable, I think it was his seventh year this past year. So maybe Jonathan Sutherland can get a little piece of that and take his game to another level. If he's able to do that, then you're talking about a lot more stability at the linebacker spot. But there, without a doubt, I mean, you have two starting jobs to fill next year. You've got two starting jobs to fill for the bowl game. This will be a good experience watching them play Arkansas to see, you know, who could be doing what in 2022.
Well, it's interesting you talk about in filling in these roles at linebacker. You took a defensive end and you took a safety, you know, moved one up, moved one back. But I thought of Jesse Luketa as a much better defensive end than he was linebacker. So to your point, though, I guess the question becomes, can Jonathan Sutherland be a better linebacker than he was safety? It proved the position change for Luketa proved itself to be very good. Could we see a repeat with Sutherland, I guess?
I think so. I think his skill set can work very, very well at linebacker. And I think being being a box guy and being asked to play more in run support and to be physical, I mean, it can only help him, because we've seen him, you know, in terms of being a safety, plateau a little bit. And I think he plateaued a couple years ago and just hasn't really been able to climb any further on that depth chart. But now you take a guy with a safety's mobility and maybe you add 10 pounds to him. Maybe he's 215, something like that next year. Now he's pretty mobile. He's going to move really well for a linebacker. He's going to embrace that challenge. I mean, I think he can absolutely make the most of his ability at linebacker more so than at safety. And I think just the same way for Jesse Luketa. And I think it's just, you know, over the last 8 or 10 years, we've seen obviously Penn State move players around and take on hybrid guys and guys who don't maybe have a true position, tweeners, so to speak. But now I think, since James Franklin arrived at Penn State in 2014, I think the game of college football and pro football has evolved so much that if you kind of almost have to be able to play multiple spots just because of, you know, the different sub packages and the different roster flexibility that you need at the college level and at the pro level. And it's not the worst thing for these players, you know, looking at Jesse Luketa more specifically, to establish their value in multiple spots, because, you know, pro teams can only carry 53 guys on their active roster at a time. It really helps your cause if you are able to play multiple spots. And for like Jonathan Sutherland, he's going to be a really good special teamer at the next level. If teams can look at him and say, okay, he could be a safety, he could be a linebacker like a Tyrann Mathieu, you know, those players are gaining value at the next level, and they're gaining value at this level too.
And the interesting thing, I always thought Jesse Luketa at defensive end had some of the skills of a linebacker, which really, you know, proved to be valuable. And I wonder if Jonathan Sutherland, as a safety, you may not have thought his coverage skills were great, but as a linebacker, it's all relative. He probably has very good coverage skills for that position. But we also have to fill in, there's more people who have to rise to the occasion next year in 22. And I think one of the places, Dusty, is in the middle. Can we see a Kobe King, say, or a Tyler Elsdon become that guy? Can they become the guy in the middle?
I think in terms of their skill set, yeah. I mean, but in terms of having that guy in the middle be your ace communicator and your leader type for not just the linebackers, but the entire defense, you might have to just rethink who's doing what there. You know, like Jonathan Sutherland, I don't think is going to be, no matter how much, you know, you ask of him at linebacker, I don't think you're going to want him as your middleman, but he's going to be your most experienced player. Curtis Jacobs is going to be your best linebacker. But you're not going to put him in the middle, I don't think. So it's going to be interesting for them to kind of figure out how to get that leadership and communication piece if your most experienced and your best linebackers aren't your player in the middle. But it seems like, you know, Kobe King and it seems like Tyler Elsdon, you know, they have an advanced maturity about them, you know, and they understand the game well. So it wouldn't surprise me if these guys, as, you know, a redshirt freshman in Kobe King's case or a redshirt sophomore in Tyler Elsdon's case, if you ask them to do a little bit more. But yeah, that's going to be my biggest question until they answer it is how do you go about replacing Ellis Brooks? They've utilized different strategies here, and they've been lucky, I think, to have Ellis Brooks over the past 3 years playing a big role. But before that, you know, you had a couple, a former walk-on in Jan Johnson, a former walk-on before him and the other Brandon Smith. So, you know, they've made it work with a wide variety of players from athletic backgrounds, from experience levels. So I think it's going to be an interesting thing that they're going to have to make the most of it. And you're going to be doing that for the first time without Brent Pry. So, you do have a bunch of changes all kind of converging in this place now, but I like their ingredients, but it's just going to be, they're going to have to get creative, I think, to bring them all together.
I believe they would love to have one of those guys, Kobe King or Tyler Elsdon, step up and be that guy for the next 2 or 3 years. But Curtis Jacobs is the only guy coming back who was the starting linebacker and back. Is this another place where they're going to lean on the transfer portal, that they're going to bring in just like they did at defensive end with Ibukidi? Do you think we're going to see a veteran guy come in and step right into a starting position?
Yeah, and what will be interesting to see is I think there's a lot of incentive to do that. Now, it'll be interesting to see, are you going to bring in a guy who's going to really have to compete with Kobe King and Tyler Elsden? Or are you going to bring in a guy who's started at a high level at, you know, maybe a Power Five school, maybe an FBS school, who looks ticketed to be a starter there? That'll be the interesting thing. Will there be an actual competition if you do bring somebody in? So yeah, I think there's a lot of good reason, I think, to bring in a proven veteran type player who could maybe take their game to another level at Penn State. But you know, both these guys, and you know, Kobe King and Tyler Elsden, I think you want to make sure that they still are developing, and they're still sure that at least one of them is a big part of your future plan. So that'll be the interesting part here, is to try to bring in a veteran, try to stabilize this two deep, and bring out the best out of your young players too.
Where do you think Jamari Boudin fits in?
I mean, he's a talented kid too, and you know, from what I could gather, they've been very high on him. So, you know, I think he's probably part of that two deep conversation next year. It'll be interesting because I can't really look at him and say, oh, he's definitely ticketed for this or definitely ticketed for that. They might have to get creative in terms of who's doing what. I also think, like, you know, Kobe King, Tyler Elsden, I don't think they can be fully comfortable because you have a guy like Budden coming in and you have these three true freshmen coming in from the 2022 class. I think there's going to be a pretty good level of competition for each and every role in this two deep. And in that respect, like, the lines are going to be more blurred in terms of who your top three are and who your next three are. But you're going to have, I think, the makings of better depth at all three linebacker spots next year.
Before we hit the true freshman coming in, Charlie Ketcher is the one name we haven't mentioned.
Is he more than a reserve guy? Is he back next year? Can he stay healthy? Can, you know, is there still another gear to his game? I obviously have more questions than answers, but he's played pretty well in spot duty. I just don't know if he is going to be asked to do more than that. I could definitely see him still be in your top reserve type player next year. I don't really see a path for him to be a starter, but you know, that's why you kind of play it out, and that's why you develop guys, and that's why the winter and strength and conditioning, even a player who you think you know really, really well, can still make a big leap in one offseason to another, and maybe he can grow into one of those jobs. I don't see it personally, but believe it or not, Jim, I've been wrong before.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about these potential of the true freshmen for next year. They're the Philly guys, Abdul Carter, Keon Wiley, Ken Talley. You know, there could be some argument about would they end up at defensive end. Can we see a true freshman on the field at linebacker?
I mean, looking at the depth, they're going to have to do something special, but Abdul Carter's 6'4 and 240 pounds. He has the makings of a special player. Keon Wiley and Ken Talley have that Philly hunger about them where they can play every down like it's their last. I mean, these guys can definitely make a splash, and there's some upward mobility on the depth chart.
Just a quick note, our good buddy Eric Epler, who follows high school football as well or better than anyone we both know, is really high on Keon Wiley. So just put that in the back of your head, Dusty. All right, that's it for quarter number three. Stick around, quarter number four. We're going to do an Outback Bowl look ahead.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.